Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission. So, you may have seen this on Facebook already, but last Sunday, Sarah and I, we celebrated an anniversary. It was not our wedding anniversary, but it was the 22nd anniversary of our first date. And if you didn't know this already, like a good future pastor, I met my wife at church. And so our first date took place on a Sunday night after church. We went with other church members and some of the youth. We went to the local pizza place, and we hung out there with others. And then she and I, we left, and we went for a walk in the park together, which, by the way, many of our dates back then were walks in the park because, let's face it, we were broke, and a walk in the park was free. So we're in this series right now titled Growing in Every Way. And as we're going through this series, we're going through the second half of the book of Ephesians. Now, as I think about our first date all those years ago, and because we're family in here this morning, I thought I would show you a picture, not from our first date, because we did not take a picture that night, but a picture from that summer that we started dating. So throw this picture up right now. Look at us. And if you really want to see a good image of that, because the lighting is not the best, you can look at the back screen, the TV back there, and you can see a nice clear picture of us. So, you know, as I look at this picture, I am reminded that we were just kids back then. Literally, I was 20 years old. Sarah was 18 years old. She had just graduated from high school. And so we were kids. Now, as I think about us being kids back then and where we are today, in about a week and a half, we are going to celebrate our 20th wedding anniversary. And so as I think about where we are today in our marriage and in our lives, I can say with great confidence that we have grown in so many ways. Now, Sarah may still be the more mature one, but I promise you that I have grown as well. But we aren't kids anymore. Not only do we have kids of our own, but the Lord has molded us and He has shaped us over the years, and He is continuing to shape us into what He desires for us to be, both as individuals and as a couple. And really, that's the goal for us as believers, as we walk in this relationship with the Lord, as we think about this call to grow in every way. Our desire isn't simply to grow in the philosophies or the ideologies of this world. Our goal as a Christ follower should be to grow in Christ. If you remember, the verse that I pulled this series title from was Ephesians 4:15, which says, "Let us grow in every way into Him who is the head, Christ." So our goal as a Christ follower should be to grow in Christ, that we would be conformed not to the things of this world, but that we would be conformed into His image, that as we mature, we are maturing in Him. Now, as we think about the areas that we are called to grow in, last week we talked about growing in consistency. In other words, consistently living out our faith that we have been called to. This morning, as we continue in our series, we're going to begin talking about growing in our relationships. And the first relationship that we see today that Paul addresses here is the relationship between husband and wife. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 22 through 33 this morning. Ephesians 5, 22 through 33. Now, as you're turning there, let me address those in the room that may not be married. because this passage deals heavily with husbands and wives, it may be tempting to simply mentally check out. But I would encourage you not to check out for a few reasons. First, one day you may get married. While you are not married today, one day you may be married. And so there are rich truths in this passage that you can take with you into that future marriage. Second, these rich truths that we see in this passage just in general are rich truths for every believer, especially as we consider what we see here with Christ's relationship with the church. And so this passage for every single believer is a passage worth studying, worth learning, and worth growing in. Third, I would say this, marriages need prayer warriors. If you are unmarried, I would invite you to be a prayer warrior for our marriages. Satan has been and continues to be on the attack of marriages in our culture and in our world. His desire is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And that's his desire with marriages and with families, to steal, kill, and destroy. So if you're unmarried, I would invite you, be a prayer warrior for our marriages, even the marriages within our own four walls here this morning. Now, before we read our passage, I want to take you back to Ephesians 5:21. This is the verse that we ended on last week. And if you remember, I said that Ephesians 5:21, it lays the groundwork, it lays the foundation for the passage that we're looking at this morning, as well as the passage that we're going to look at next week. So Ephesians 5:21, it says, submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. Last week, I gave you three things to remember about that word submission. Let me recap those for you right now. First, submission is not a bad word. Now the reason why I point this out is because I think many times when we hear that word submission or submit, we have a reflex of resistance. Why? Because submission does not come naturally in our human flesh. Submission is learned. In fact, I have an older sister. Some of you know her. Her name is Beth. When Beth was younger, this was before I was born, when she was around the age of a toddler, my parents and my sister, they were at the food court in the mall. And they were eating, and my sister had in front of her a drink that was too large for her to manage on her own. And she wanted to take a drink from that cup. And my parents, knowing that that was too big for her to manage, they told her, don't try and do that on your own. Don't try and pick up that cup. You're going to spill it all over yourself. But my sister insisted. She refused to listen to what they said. And so she tried to pick up that large glass of soda and she spilled it all over herself. Submission is not natural for us in our human flesh. We are born with a sin nature. We are born with a rebellious nature. We want to do what we want to do and we don't want anyone to tell us any different. And so submission is something that is learned. Submission is something that we grow in. And when we come to know Christ as Lord, Christ takes that submission, the Spirit of God takes that submission that we've already been learning, that we've already been growing in, and he conforms it into the submission that he desires for it to truly be. And so submission is not a bad word, but sometimes we might feel like it's a bad word because submission does not come naturally to us in our flesh. Second, for the believer, submission always begins with submission to the Lord. We're not submitting to one another out of fear of one another. We are called to submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. In other words, we're called to submit to one another out of obedience to the Lord. And so I would say that if there's an issue of submission in our hearts when it comes to any role that we're talking about, whether we're talking about within our marriages, whether we're talking about children to your parents, whether we're talking about employees to bosses, whatever role we might be talking about, if there's an issue in our heart with submission, the root of that issue is an issue with submission to the Lord. when we begin to submit to the Lord, He will begin to produce that desire to submit in the other areas that we are called to submit in as well. Now, this is not to say that we should not have an issue with bad authority. This is not to say that we shouldn't have an issue submitting to something that we are told to do that is sinful, that is contrary to God's word. We should absolutely have an issue with that. Think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Think Daniel in the lion's den. When it comes to commands that have been given to us, even if it is by an authority, when it comes to commands that have been given to us that are contrary to God's word, that are going to lead us into sinning against God, then by all means, we are called to resist that. But if we're talking about something that we've been asked to do that is not against God's word, that is not something that is sinful, then we are called to submit to whatever that role might be, whatever that authority might be, out of obedience, out of fear of the Lord. So for the believer, submission always begins with submission to the Lord. The third thing that I've asked you to remember is that submission implies order. And I want to reword it for you this morning to say this: God has created things in order and with order. God has created things in order and with order. In fact, that word that we see that's used here, the Greek word that's translated there as submitting or submit, was actually a military term meaning to arrange troop divisions in a military fashion under the command of a leader. And I realize that the military, it may not be perfect. However, those of you that have served in the military, you can probably say some very positive things as well as you can talk about some of the things that may not be the best. But when I think about the military, that word order and organized are certainly words that come to mind. And so we're reminded once again, God has created things in order and with an order. Now, while this is a military term, when it was used in a non-military way, the word that Paul is using it here, it's referring to a voluntary attitude of submission. It's referring to a voluntary cooperation among Christ's followers here for the sake of walking in obedience to God. So God has created things in order and with an order, and that order that God has created things in, it flows into the relationships we have with others, and we're going to see that as we look at our passage right now. So with that in mind, let's read Ephesians 5, 22 through 33. It says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, because the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives are to submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her to make her holy, cleansing her with the washing of water by the word. He did this to present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or anything like that, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands are to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hates his own flesh, but provides and cares for it just as Christ does for the church, since we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This mystery is profound, but I am talking about Christ and the church. To sum up, each one of you is to love his wife as himself, and the wife is to respect her husband." Now, as we look at this passage, I want to begin by highlighting that verse that we saw there just we read this just a moment ago, verse 32. It says, "The mystery is profound, but I'm talking about Christ and the church." Paul is telling us something so important here. And that is that the marriage relationship, as God designed it, between one man and one woman, has been created to point mankind to Christ's relationship with the church. Now, we've talked about this before, but Christ has always been God's plan for mankind. even before the beginning, before God ever created the earth or a single person, God knew that mankind would sin. God had a plan from the very beginning to send Christ to be the redeemer of mankind, and more importantly, to be the redeemer of all those who would call upon his name to be saved. The church. God had a plan from the beginning of this relationship between Christ and the church. So it should be no surprise to us then that even before the fall of mankind, back in Genesis chapter 2, God established the marriage relationship and he communicated that design to us. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31, Paul points us back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, when he says, "For this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." And so from the very beginning, the method by which God has chosen to illustrate Christ's relationship with the church, the method by which God has chosen to illustrate Christ's love for the church is that marriage relationship between a man and a woman. And I believe wholeheartedly that this is why Satan has attacked throughout the ages, Satan has attacked that marriage relationship. This is the reason why Satan desires to destroy and to distort this marriage relationship, because if he can eliminate that marriage relationship between one man and one woman, ultimately he can eliminate the picture which God has given for us of Christ's love for the church. So let me pause right here and say this. God designs, Satan distorts. Hear that again. God designs, Satan distorts. And let me just be very honest. Much of what we see in our world today is a distortion of God's design with the intention of creating confusion in this world when it comes to this very image of Christ and the church. Let me give you just a few examples of this, and let me start maybe somewhere where you may not expect, and that would be living together outside of marriage. If we were to look at living together outside of marriage as the image of Christ and the church, what does this tell us? Well, it is a distortion of what God has intended for us to understand of Christ and the church, because what this tells us, if Christ is the image of the man and the woman is the image of the church, this tells us that neither Christ nor the church is fully committed to one another, and either could leave that relationship at any time. And yet the true picture of Christ and the church is an image of faithfulness and commitment with security for the believer into eternity. What about adultery? If we use this as our image of Christ and the church, what does this image portray for us? It would imply either an unfaithfulness from either the church, or it would imply an unfaithfulness from Christ. Now, we do see in Scripture, in James chapter 4, believers who partner with the sinfulness of this world are called an adulterous people. But listen, we are not called to be an unfaithful people. We are not called to live with this adulterous behavior. We are called to be faithful just as Christ is faithful to us. So now let me address the big one in our culture today, in our world today, and that's homosexuality. What image does this give us in regard to Christ and the church? If we were to look to this as the standard, how does this portray Christ and the church? And once again, it is a distortion of the image that God has for us. Because if the man is the image of Christ and if the woman is the image of the church, it gives us this idea that either Christ has no desire for the church, or that the church has no need for Christ. And yet both of those statements are absolutely untrue. The church has an absolute need for Christ. and Christ has an absolute desire for the church, loving the church to the extent that he went to the cross to die for our sins, that any and all who call upon his name might be saved, might be redeemed. And so once again, this is a distortion of this image that God has for us. Now, those are just a few examples of ways that Satan has tried to distort the image that God has created for us through God's design of marriage. And if you find yourself in one of those situations today, let me tell you, all is not lost. There is hope, there is forgiveness, there is redemption, but I would encourage you, if you're a believer and you're in one of those situations, turn from whatever that situation might be so that you can begin to walk in obedience to the one that you say is your Lord. Now, if you've never given your life to Christ, all is still not lost. I would tell you, turn from your sins, confess Jesus as Lord, and allow him to begin to work in your heart, work in your life, root that sin out of your life that you might walk in that right relationship with him. But as we recognize that the marriage relationship between a man and a woman is the image by which God has decided to display Christ's relationship with the church, Christ's love for the church, there's a couple of calls here that we see in our passage that I want to look at with you right now. First, we see a call for wives. Let's look at verses 22 through 23 again. It says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, because the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body." So we see a call for wives. Now, I promise you, I did not pick this passage for Father's Day. All right, this is not me saying, "Happy Father's Day, wives, submit to your husbands." All right, back when I planned out my preaching calendar back in November, when I put Ephesians on the calendar, this is just the Sunday that this passage fell on. But there are a couple of things that I want to mention here as we think about this call for wives to submit to your husbands. First, this does not imply a lesser value of the wife in the marriage relationship. Remember, I pointed out last week that the Son, that Jesus the Son, submitted his will to the Father's will in the Garden of Gethsemane. And yet, when we look at the triune God, when we look at the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are one. They operate as one. They function as one. And yet, even though they are one, even though they are equal, the Son still submits to the Father. And so this does not imply a lesser value of the wife in the marriage relationship. However, in order to display the beauty of Christ's love for the church or the submissions or the church's submission to Christ, God calls the wife to submit to the husband. Second thing I want to point out is that as we're told that this is to be done as to the Lord, I want us to understand this very clearly because this often gets misapplied. As to the Lord does not imply that wives, you are to look at your husbands as equal to the Lord. You are not to it's not to imply that you are to look at his word as equal to God's word and God's authority. However, the implication here, it really goes back to the truth that we saw there in verse 21, that submission to one another begins with submission to Christ. And so, wives, your submission to your husband begins first with your submission to Christ, and your submission to your husband is really, it's simply going to be an overflow of your submission to Christ. Because as you are walking in obedience to the Lord, you desire to submit to your husband. So we see a call for wives, but now I want to move on to the call that we see here for husbands, because the larger portion of this passage is really directed towards husbands here. So second, we see a call for husbands. So look at verses 25 through 26 again. It says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her to make her holy, cleansing her with the washing of water by the word." So we see a call for husbands. Now, this might even be a weightier responsibility here that we see placed upon husbands than even what we see placed upon the wives, because what this tells us is that husbands, we are not to be demanding of submission. We are to be deserving of it. In other words, we should love our wives in such a way that submission becomes so easy and so natural. We are not to be demanding of submission. We are to be deserving of it. I don't know about you, but when I think about the amazing grace that has been shown to me by Christ, when I think about, man, the sin that I was in, the sin that I lived in, the sin that enslaved me, when I think about the freedom that has been afforded to me because of Christ, when I think that He came into this world and He went to the cross and He took those beatings for me and He took those nails in His hand and the crown of thorns were shoved down onto His head, when I think about all that He went through on my behalf, so that I could be forgiven, redeemed, given a new life, and promised an eternity with Him. When I think about all of that, I think, man, how can I not love Christ? How can I not submit to Christ? How can I not do whatever Christ desires of me? So let me just ask you, husbands, are you making it easy for your wife to fulfill her calling by fulfilling your calling? In other words, could your wife look at how you treat her? Could your wife look at how you love her, how you sacrifice for her? Could your wife look at how you talk to her, how you pay attention to her, how you serve her? Could she look at all of these things and say, man, how can I not love my husband? How can I not submit to my husband? How can I not do anything he desires of me? You see, I think far too often we wrongfully desire for our wives to fulfill their calling without fulfilling our own calling. We wrongfully demand submission without being deserving of that submission. And yet God has called us as husbands to something better. God has called us as husbands to a higher standard. We are to reflect Christ's love for the church and how we treat our wives and how we talk to our wives and how we serve our wives and everything we do. We are to reflect Christ. And if I'm just being brutally honest this morning, I'm sure there are some of us as husbands that need to go home today and apologize to our wives for the arrogant attitude that we have had and begin loving our wives the way we've been called to, so that we wouldn't just be demanding of that submission, but that we would be deserving of it, that we would be deserving of the submission that we desire. And so as we look at our passage, we see this call for wives and we see this call for husbands. And while marriage may not always be a walk in the park, when we function within God's design, we have the potential of displaying this beautiful image of Christ's relationship with the church, of Christ's love for the church, for all the world to see. And I believe that we will see maturity in our relationships. We will see maturity in our marriages as we continue to be conformed into Christ's image, as we continue to grow in every way. But maybe you're here and you would say, you know what, I'm not growing in every way. I'm not growing in a relationship with Christ because, truth be told, I've never given my life to Christ. If that's true, then I want to give you the opportunity to respond this morning. And so in just a moment, we're going to sing another song. And as we sing this song, this is going to be your opportunity to respond today. Maybe you're here and you would say, you know what, that's me. I've never given my life to Christ. I've never turned from my sins, trusting in Jesus as the Lord of my life. But today, recognizing what Christ has done for me, going to the cross, dying for my sins, 3 days later, rising again victoriously, recognizing what Christ has done for me, man, I'm ready to turn from my sins and to submit to His authority. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond. I'm going to be standing right down front. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you this morning. Today, you can know Jesus as the Lord of your life. But maybe you're here and you would say, you know what, I've given my life to Christ, but you know what, as I look at my life, I'm not walking in obedience to the Lord in some of these areas. Wives, maybe it's with your husbands. Husbands, maybe it's with your wives. Believer, it may be some other area that you're walking in disobedience. If you need to begin walking in obedience today, listen, you can confess that to the Lord right where you're at. But if you need someone to pray with you, I'd be more than happy to do that. Now, maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ, but I've never taken that next step of baptism like the Hartle family did this morning. If that's you, then I would encourage you to respond as well so that you can make that commitment to make your faith in Christ public through baptism. Listen, we don't believe that baptism saves us, but it is something that God has called every single born-again believer to do. And so if He is going to be our Lord, if we are going to submit to Him, then we need to take that step of obedience from the very beginning, to take that step of baptism. Now, maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ. I've been baptized by immersion already. I've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale. I know God's calling me to make this my church home, to become a member here at First Baptist Church Stockdale, to begin growing with this church body, to be on mission with this church body. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond as well. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. But whatever it is that God's calling you to do in these final moments, as we sing this song, would you respond obediently? Stand with me right now. Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.